is Sophia, reminding you what a treasure you have in Asheville FM. Your community volunteers keep you informed, keep you company, and turn you on to some really great sounds. Asheville FM supports local businesses, artists, and international artists as well. Community radio is so essential, especially for that close personal touch from fellow members in your neighborhood. You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville.
And next up is Dreamers and Doers with your host, Carol Anders. Carol's been kind enough to let me, Habanero, take over her show this morning and to introduce you to a local dreamer and doer. But first, today is Thursday, April 20th, 420 of you, for those of you for whom that's significant. And we're looking at a gorgeous day here in Asheville. High of 81 with light winds picking up from the south. This is such an exciting time of year, and I'm super happy to be here experiencing it. We've just wrapped up a successful fund drive, and we couldn't do what we do without the support of our listeners and underwriters. Underwriting offers you one of the most cost-effective means to draw people to your business, and you'll send a solid message to our engaged and dedicated listeners that you also support grassroots community radio. To find out more, contact Robert at ashevillefm.org. And programming support is brought to you by the Organic Growers School, a 401c3 nonprofit that offers hands-on training, workshops, and conferences in farming techniques, home gardening, and living organically. Information is available at organicsgrowersschool.org.
What's he building in there? What the hell is he building in there? What's he building in there? We have a right to know.
What's he building in there? You may have driven way up Merriman Avenue or gotten off at I-26 at exit 23 and wondered what's going on just south of Weaverville Road. My guest this morning is Brian Appleton, and he's the genius behind the Lazy Tiger, the exciting new project going up at 104 Weaverville Road. I first met Ryan at a 1 Million Cups meeting where he was presenting his dream to the networking group that meets at the Hatch Innovation Hub every Wednesday morning. If you're interested in catching some of the fever of the Asheville entrepreneurial spirit, consider dropping in one Wednesday morning to see for yourself. It's free and welcoming. Good morning, Ryan, and welcome to Dreamers and Doers.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So please tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, we'll start from there. I grew up outside of Atlanta, Marietta, Georgia. Moved there when I was 2 from South Florida and stayed there through high school. So had the kind of lovely suburban childhood that everyone dreams of. Went to school at Auburn, got a degree in software engineering from Auburn University, and then moved back to Atlanta for the kind of first part of my professional career.
And so where were you and what did you do before you came to Asheville?
Yeah, I was a software engineer for Home Depot in their corporate office. So first gig out of school, you know, just excited to have a salary, buy cool stuff. And started in their IT department, then switched over and did some kind of internal consulting for them. A very classic kind of corporate world job where I was happy. I didn't, you know, I liked the people there, but it kind of was starting to grow a little stale. So that made my brain start to wander a bit.
Oh, so if I may, in order to start the dreamer part of the show, I love the R story that you've got posted on your website, which is lazytigerhostel.com. And I'll hope you indulge me to read from it.
Sure.
Have you ever met strangers who felt like close friends? Ever been on vacation and truly been able to forget about the real world for a while? Those feelings inspired the creation of the Lazy Tiger. Our founder, Ryan, was in his fifth month of a sabbatical from work, traveling through South America to get away for a while and figure out what was next when the idea struck him. Corporate life had treated him well, but the work wasn't fulfilling, and he thought there had to be something more. Not knowing exactly what that something was, he took a break and bought a one-way ticket to Chile. There were times when Ryan had considered opening a hostel eventually, but it wasn't until he arrived at the adventure town of Pucón and checked into the Chile Kiwi Hostel that he realized hospitality was his calling. Chile Kiwi was a perfect example of the positive impact a hostel can make on its guests and proved how vast the difference could be between a well-run hostel and an average one. Inspired and motivated, Ryan spent the last 4 months of his trip traveling to over 25 hostels in 4 countries, handpicking features and ideas from every stop, taking note of what worked and what it didn't. And the Lazy Tiger is the result of all that work. That's a great song, but our show's only an hour long. It does take paint the picture, though, doesn't it, Ryan? Yeah.
I was rambling for sure.
No, yeah, so tell us a little bit about the Lazy Tiger and the experience you're hoping to create for your guests.
Yeah, so the Lazy Tiger will be a traveler's hostel just up north, in just into Woodfin on Weaverville Road. And the hope will be kind of to build a home away from home for travelers checking into Asheville. You know, it's a very popular town to visit to some locals, annoyingly so. And but it's, you know, hotels are crazy expensive, and I worry at some point that we're only attracting a certain type of traveler here. So, you know, I'm hoping to give a different kind of option, you know, one that's focused on building community, where you can kind of meet strangers and have a launching pad for adventure around town.
So talk a little bit more about that. What do you think some of the differences are between the travelers that are currently inundating our city? I shouldn't say it that way, because I was one of them for many years. But what is more of the experience that you're trying to create?
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't want Asheville to become too expensive for people to visit and to check out. And, you know, I moved here 4.5 years ago. I certainly was a visitor before then and loved it. And I think there's a reason so many people like to come here, right? It's beautiful, and there's arts, and there's music, and there's hiking. And I just want to make sure people can feel that. And I think the Lazy Tiger's role will just be make it easy for them to have fun, make it easy for them to relax, and easy for them to meet folks.
So. So besides the difference in the expense of the experience between being at a hostel and being at a hotel, what are some of the other kinds of things that a guest to a hostel would experience? So I think a lot of us probably aren't, if we weren't fortunate enough to be able to take that time off between, you know, before we committed to jobs or school to do some backpacking around or traveling like that, and might not really have a good idea of what that hostel experience is like.
Yeah, that's certainly a fair question. So the hostel will traditionally have shared rooms or communal style rooms where you're renting a bunk bed versus a room. So I'll have 2 8-bed dorms, one female 4-bed dorm, and then 2 private rooms. But the idea is, you know, it's way more focused on community. You know, you sacrifice some privacy for the, you know, the experience of meeting others and kind of having these big open common areas where you can exchange travel stories and ideas for what people have done, what people want to do, and kind of really get to see another part of town.
Where they've been, maybe where they're headed. Or so what is a typical hostel traveler, do you think? Like, what kind of an adventure might they be on, and where might they have been before, and where might they be on their way to?
Yeah, I'll actually be interested to see where, you know, how my demographics end up. You know, when I was traveling in South America, there was a lot of folks like me who are on this really like long journey where they're starting north and going south, or starting south and going north. And I don't think there will be that as much of that here. You know, I think there will be folks on road trips, you know, popping in, coming down from D.C. or up from Greenville or Charleston, or, you know, kind of people popping along regionally, or people just coming into town from Asheville for a long weekend, whether they're wanting to get out and hike or see a show or catch an art exhibit. So, you know, I think the ideal, or I shouldn't say ideal, I'll take anybody who wants to come, but kind of the standard guest will be somebody that comes in, you know, 3 or 4 nights, just wants to explore a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that I part of me wistfully dreams about having been able to have done that. So I'm kind of fascinated by
the
overall concept.
You can still do it. What are you waiting
on? Well, so I will say I'm a sailor. So I did a lot of that from a boating perspective, okay, where, you know, you would have your little floating condominium is what we called it, you know, a small, relatively small boat, and, you know, go to port from port to port, throw out the anchor, and kind of just enjoy the nature there, and sometimes pull in someplace to, you know, pay for the night or stay at a fancy schmancy marina.
You got to treat yourself sometimes.
Yeah, and I really miss doing that. I don't have a boat anymore. So anyway, this is intriguing to me. So are you expecting to have a lot of single travelers?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll probably be a mix, maybe 50-50. You know, I have lots of numbers and a spreadsheet on my business plan, and I'm really curious to see as I open how accurate those are. But I would guess maybe half the guests will be traveling alone.
Mm-hmm. And you think that they're going to be, well, you're not sure. It'll be interesting to see if they're stopping on their way for a longer trip or just on the Asheville is their destination, and this was just more of the experience that they were looking to create.
Right, yeah. I think there'll definitely be a mix of where Asheville is the end destination or the pit stop. But I mean, for example, before I moved here, I stayed at Bonpal and Sharkey's, which is a hostel just down the road from here, on Haywood. And I was I came up here alone, and the 3 people I hung out with over 2 nights were all 3 traveling solo too. So I do think it's fairly common for, you know, obviously there's plenty of couples and big groups that come to Asheville, but if you're traveling alone, you might tend to look for a hostel where you can, you know, easily meet others.
Well, it also makes more sense economically, because if you're traveling alone and it isn't just a one destination place, you probably do need to watch your pennies a little bit along the way.
Yeah, budget becomes more important for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what are you doing to create excitement and to get people to want to stay or to tell their traveling friends?
Yeah, so I'm just doing I'm trying to reach out to the communities where they are. And I'm certainly open to suggestions on that if anybody is listening. But, you know, reaching out to the kayakers and the bikers or folks who come in from out of town that will visit Asheville more than once. You know, I would love to build a place where people can continue to come back and always feel like they have a place to crash when they come into town. And so it's those people that visit Asheville not to kind of check it off the box, but come here because they feel something special here and can't live here for some reason. So they come and visit, and so I want to reach out where they are, whether it's, you know, I surf Reddit forums, I you know, am on all kinds of social media, but also in a more traditional marketing sense, I'll be on Airbnb, I'll be on Hostel World, kind of where my visitors might be looking when they're going to book a stay in Asheville.
Mm-hmm. So what's the status of your place? I know we met up there last week, and it's moving along.
It's moving. I think it's crawling sometimes. So we're in mid-construction. So I did buy some land and building from the ground up, which was not the original plan at all. You know, I was convinced when I moved up here I was going to buy a house and convert it and be open in 6 months, and that was 4.5 years ago. So the plan has altered slightly. But the framing is done, about to hang drywall this week. So I don't know. What is that, 60, 70% done, something like that? We're hoping to be open end of June or beginning of July is kind of the current target date. Mm-hmm. And there'll be some soft open weekends in there with friends and family to work out the kinks, and then we'll open to the public. So.
Check out the beds, see how comfortable
exactly.
they are,
yeah,
how easy it is to go up and down the stairs.
How snoring carries, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that, you know, you talk about the construction being 70% done, but I just know from my own experience, the construction is, you don't even start that until you're so far along on so many other things between planning and buying the property and getting all the plans approved and finding people to help be supportive, et cetera. So,
yeah, I was.
Construction is just one small piece, it almost seems.
It's definitely a small piece. I mean, I broke ground in February of last year, but I've been planning this or kind of working on it since January of 2017, or that's certainly when it became an idea. It went from I was probably it was a good thing, but I was very naive when I started this. It's the first business I've ever launched on my own, and I remember telling people when I quit my job that I'd be open in 6 months. Then it's a kind of a theme here where I maybe underestimate some timelines. So I was convinced I was going to live in Atlanta until I moved up here and bought a place. That obviously didn't work. I moved up here and lived out in with a friend out in Alexander for several years. Took a while to find property that worked with zoning and everything else. And then it took a while to find financing. And then, of course, COVID came and visited us for a while, and that shut everything down. You know, it's a really tough pitch for banks when there's a global pandemic going on that you're going to have eight strangers sleeping in bunk beds together.
Yeah.
So that put a pause on things for sure. So it's certainly been a long road, and construction is just the last leg before I can open the doors.
I know that's what I was wondering about, because just so many steps. And, you know, I think every single person in this entire, probably the world, has been impacted in some way or another by that pandemic, and nobody's experience has been the same.
Yeah.
So we all haven't had our big business dreams put on pause, but everyone has had some kind of an experience that they can look back and say, well, that pandemic did that to me, or gave me that time, or caused me the delay, or whatever.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was obviously frustrated when it was going on, but at the same time, I had my health and I had a place to stay. And so, you know, we all kind of had our own things we were dealing with. But it was a test in patience for sure.
Oh, I know, right? So, you know, I always invite my guests to select some music to accompany the conversation. And I just love that Jason Isbell song that you picked out. And I'll give that a little try now. Oh, and I made a note to myself, it doesn't start until 10 seconds in.
This is when you fill the 10 seconds of time.
Mountains rough this time of year. Close the highway down. They don't warn the town. I've been fighting second gear 15 miles or so, trying to beat the angry snow. I know every town worth passing through. What good does knowing do? No one to show it quit talking to myself, listening to the radio a long, long time ago. Damn near strangled by my appetite, Ybor City on a Friday night, couldn't even stand upright. So high the street girls wouldn't take my pay. He said, come see me on a better day. She just danced away. And I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? I've grown tired.
That is such a pretty song. I really like that. That is Jason Isbell, Traveling Alone. My guest this morning is Ryan Appleton, and he is the dreamer of the Lazy Tiger Hostel, which you can find at 104 Weaverville Road here in Asheville. And if you're up on way north on Merriman Avenue, or if you happen to hop off of I-26 at exit 23 and look to the south, you'll see the building under construction. And as part of the Dreamers and Doers, I'm Habanero, and I'm filling in for Carol Anders today. I have a dreamer who is doing it. And so my guest again is Ryan Appleton. So Ryan, it's my understanding that your guests won't always be traveling alone, right?
Yeah, that's right. I do think it'll be a good mix. So I've certainly stayed in hostels with plenty of groups of travelers. So open to all.
Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you took into consideration when you were laying out the floor plan and accommodations?
Yeah, so that is the good thing about building from scratch, is I got to kind of design it exactly how I wanted it. You know, I was looking at houses at first, and there ended up being a lot of wasted space, or what I deemed as wasted space, when I was trying to cram bunk beds into living rooms and things like that. And it just didn't make any sense. So when I got to lay it out from scratch and work with an architect here, I wanted the big open common areas to be kind of where people would naturally go to. So the bunk rooms themselves are on the smaller side. It's where you might go if you want to take a nap, but it's not where you'll go to hang out. And so it'll naturally kind of drive people into the common areas. And we'll have a big communal kitchen where guests can, you know, make family dinners. And then we'll have a big living area / lounge. I'll sell some local beer and wine also. So it'll be kind of a place where people can have a little happy hour or a post-beer hike. you know, big back deck where people can get some sun and hang out outside. And there's even a small stream at the back of the property where people can hang out. So, yeah, the idea was just to give folks a lot of open space where they can always see what's going on in the hostel. You know, I've stayed at places that were so huge that it was kind of hard to get a feel for what's going on, where everybody was, where the party was. Right. And I don't think that'll be a problem at my place just because there's, you know, it's going to be pretty clear to see.
Yeah, it's like I was fortunate to come and take a mini tour. And as soon as you walk in, you've got your living space right there, that communal space that you're talking about. And presumably you'll have good Wi-Fi and all that.
Yeah, that's a must. I mean, and good Wi-Fi is one thing, but also you got to be able to support 30 devices at a time, too, where everybody has a phone. And then you got some iPads and some laptops. So there will be some heavier infrastructure than a standard house. Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit of your background, right? Your professional background.
Yeah, it's funny. I was lucky enough to have parents that paid for the vast majority of my college, and I got this nice degree that I'm not using much anymore. And that was weird for me at first. You know, it felt not like a waste, but I put in all this time and so now I have little pieces where I use it. You know, I run my own website and I'll be able to kind of be the tech guy on site. And so it still scratches that itch a little bit.
Well, actually, your website is pretty terrific. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
You did that all yourself?
I did. Yeah, it's been, I built version one of that when I was back in Atlanta. I did all the unimportant things, right? Where I had a logo day one, you know, I had a website, I had the social media set up far before anybody was ever interested in staying with me. So, it was the things I could do at the time. So I've been working on the website for a while.
And what is that website?
It's lazytigerhostel.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's HOSTEL.
Yes. Not ILE. We're not hostel in that sense. We're
And it's also not hotel, which, you know, I think that when you're trying to type, if you're a victim of autocorrect, it'll try to keep changing it to hotel.
Yeah, hopefully Google picks up on it and starts auto-suggesting it to folks. There's actually a Lazy Tiger cocktail bar in St. Louis, Missouri, and I haven't met them. I'm sure they're great people, so if you're in St. Louis, give them a visit. But you know, I can see what people search and how they end up on my website. And every once in a while, it's like Lazy Tiger menu. And I was like, that's not what you're looking for, but they end up on my site anyways. So, yeah, hopefully it bumps up the rankings and people start recognizing the Lazy Tiger.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come up with the name?
I wish I had a really cool story. I mean, the Tiger, so I went to Auburn, and the Tiger's Auburn's mascot. And I always just kind of liked the idea of hostels having a mascot. But it's really, I wanted it to be something easy to remember and kind of catchy and not offensive. And it's just something that everybody can kind of easily relate to and tell their friends about.
So we talked a little bit about your experiences that you were able to bring to the project and what components did you need to look to others for their expertise as you were putting this all together?
Oh, everything. I mean, the big piece is, you know, like I said, I didn't get into this to run a commercial construction project, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm incredibly fortunate that everybody else in my family but me is in commercial construction was in commercial construction. So my dad is recently retired. My brother, my uncle still work for the same company. And luckily, because my dad's retired, he doesn't have a choice but to answer my calls. And I get to ask him all the really dumb questions, you know, and then he explains it to me, breaks it down to layman's terms, and then I can ask my builder kind of the sort of dumb questions.
Yeah, so that helps
it's
you from
helpful.
Yeah. That helps you from getting snowed too.
I don't know that term.
Oh well, you know, by somebody taking advantage of you by not knowing, you know enough that you can snoop out anyone who's trying to take advantage of you that doesn't sound quite right, or no, we really don't need to do that, do we?
Yeah, absolutely. The gut check has been super valuable. You know, my standard solution to most problems is just to Google things, and that's not that helpful in something as complicated as this. So it's having a sounding board has been great.
So have your experts been up to inspect the site and to you know, to help you along the way firsthand, other than just having to make phone calls?
Yeah, he's been up, and my stepmom is a structural engineer too. So it's just a wide range of experts I have, and they've been up to Asheville a few times to inspect / keep their eye on things and give ideas where I don't have them. So it's been great.
That's fantastic.
But even, you know, I also haven't run a business before. I've kind of run teams on my old job and done some things myself, but so I'm in a, you know, I've never marketed a business before like I'll need to. And so a big part of what I'm trying to do is meet as many people in town and make connections of folks that can help me along the way. I'm not naturally someone who is great at asking for help. I love to solve every problem myself, and it's the best way.
So. I never met a man that had that stance before,
one, right?
So
yeah.
It's shocking to hear.
Yeah, I was funny. So I to go back to the trip for a second, I was blogging while I did it, at the time, I had visions that I was going to make money off a travel blog, and I wasn't a young, good-looking female, so it didn't work out. But it's so great. I'm so glad that I did. I mean, because now I have this kind of travel history that lives on with me forever. I was rereading it last night. I do it about once a year just to kind of get nostalgic. And reading now, I can tell, like, I was trying to do this all myself. And, I take a lot of pride in being independent, but there were so many times I was reading it where I was like, dude, just go in there and ask somebody. And it's something I'm still working on. So.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I never met a man that had those kind of, and yeah, so I have a special guest here in the studio today. one of our fellow staff members is observing, and he is chuckling in the background there. So what were some of your other challenges that you've come up against? I mean, it sounds like the construction thing that, you know, you were able to have some inside information on that, and a lot of the technical stuff you were able to pull together yourself.
Yeah. I mean, the financing was a really hard piece. You know, it's, unfortunately it's not a business that I could start without capital, and I'm not independently wealthy. So I had to put together a plan and convince somebody to loan me their money, and I'd be able to pay it back. And, you know, I have a long business plan and lots of projections, but it was still a tough sell. You know, I was someone coming from a different industry. Hostels are kind of weird to some people, right? And it's not somebody opens a bar or a restaurant, it's a very understandable business model. There's lots and lots of examples, and it's a little bit more rare for a hostel. So I heard a lot of no's. You know, I talked to every bank in town. They said, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. I finally ended up partnering with a CDFI, which is a community development
investment fund,
financial institution. I probably butchered that, but so they're kind of more tailored to lending towards startups, and they've been absolutely great to partner with. So they're actually based out of West Virginia, but serve all of Appalachia. When I was first kind of telling my lender my story, you could just tell that she got it, which is great. I experienced that, especially in Asheville. You know, I was first talking to lenders and banks in Atlanta when I was living there, and you tell people you're opening a hostel and their head spins. They don't even understand that concept. And Asheville, it's been very different. You know, people, a lot more folks around town get it, you know, whether they've stayed in hostels in Europe or when they were young, traveling California or something, you know, people understand a little bit more about what I'm trying to do. And that's what's been great.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm also a small business owner, and I know that formality of having to put together the business plan and all of the projections and the who I am and what my mission is. And all of that was such a challenge. But once you put it all together, it really does provide you with a roadmap and talking points and something formal that you can show other people, not just investors, that you're serious, you're real, you've thought through a whole bunch of the different components of it.
Yeah, it's really what helps you kind of, you know, convert it from a dream into a goal, you know, or an actual plan. You know, that there's, I'm sure I Googled business plan format 5 years ago, and it makes you ask the questions you might not have been thinking about off the bat.
Yeah.
It does. And I spent a lot of time on it, and I do think the bankers noticed. You know, they could tell that I put a lot of thought into it, probably too much thought.
Now, did you do all of your business development stuff yourself, or did you have help with that?
So, no, I definitely had help along the way. There's a couple of great organizations. Atlanta has one, and there's a similar one here in Asheville called the Small Business Development Center.
They are all over the country. I didn't want to pipe in with my New York experience, but it's the same thing. It was at the community colleges, the state-run community colleges that they were based out of. Yeah.
And this is super helpful. So the first one in Atlanta helped me put together a plan, kind of gave me some different ideas and asked me, you know, this just gives you somebody else to bounce ideas off of. And then I met with the one here when I moved here, and my plan was already developed, but they were able to help me make great connections. You know, they're connected with WCU here, and I met my realtor through that connection. I actually met a landscaper through that connection. And then now I'm very involved with 1 Million Cups. There's a group on Meetup called Digital Nomads where it kind of brings remote workers together. And so there's a lot of good kind of infrastructure around town. Hatch Co-working, I'm at a lot. I love those folks. You know, it can be either a sounding board or somebody just to complain about when things aren't going well, or somebody to help you make idea, you know, make connections and give you some ideas.
Mm-hmm. So where is the Small Business Development Centers here in Asheville located? Because I just think that's a terrific resource for anyone who's got dreams and wanna try to figure out a way to make them happen.
Yeah, so it's actually been a few years since I've been in their office. They were at the Grove Arcade, but I'm not 100% confident that's still the case. The best thing to do would be to search SBTDC, which is Small Business Technology and Development Center, Asheville, and their website will come up. But
that is your tax dollars at work for everyone in the listening audience. That is an arm of the Small Business Administration. And if you pay any attention to any of that kind of thing in our government, small business is a huge, huge economic engine all across the country. And I've really noticed it here in Asheville. In fact, that's where we met at 1 Million Cups.
Yeah. And I will say it's, you know, those are all free services. So when you're, especially if you're trying to bootstrap it kind of like I did, any free is great, right? Because there's certainly coaches and mentors and stuff they'll help you for a small fee. Having those free resources provided by these organizations is great. There's actually, to give Venture Asheville a shout out there, Venture Asheville works with the Chamber of Commerce in Asheville to do business development, and they have a great one-pager where they kind of list all the small business resources in town and all the different groups you can work with. So I definitely point people to that if they're interested.
So one of the things I like to point out is that it's not free. It is not a cost to you
right.
as the dreamer. But it's your tax dollars at work. So a lot of times you sit here, or I hear people sit there and say, I don't want to be paying my taxes for this, that, or the other thing. Well, this is an example of where your tax dollars go to build up your neighbors, local businesses, environment. There's so many different kinds of things. So, you know, next time you're whining and complaining about your taxes, you know, have a broader view of where, you know, where they're coming from and taking advantage of them.
Yeah. Whoever's listening and has paid their taxes. Thank you. I do appreciate it.
Well, you had a pretty significant professional career, so you surely paid your share of taxes. So, anyway, so thank you for helping to support, you know, me and my business when I was starting however many years ago. So, you know, where I saw you first was at the Million Cups, and it was great because it's a platform. If anyone is looking to connect with not only the excitement of the entrepreneurial spirit that's going on here in Asheville, but if you're looking to just connect with intelligent, articulate, forward-thinking business professionals, I just have found that to be such a refreshing environment. They meet on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, is it?
9 a.m. Yeah.
9 to 10. Very professional. They start on time, they finish on time. Everything's recorded. And
there's lots of free coffee too.
You know what? I'm such a coffee snob. I bring my own.
Oh, okay.
but yes, they that's definitely one of the advantages there.
Yeah, when I You know, they've been going for years here in Asheville. I think they took a COVID pause like everybody and went virtual for a while. But I joined back or started going to that group in summer of last year. And after the first couple times I went, I really did feel like I kind of found my people. You know, I had certainly had friends in Asheville before that. But, you know, being surrounded by that many people who are building, who are trying to accomplish something and face the struggles, it really just felt kind of like a home away from home for me.
Yeah, same here. Because so many of the people that I've met are in hospitality or crafty stuff or music. So it's really been the same thing. It's really been nice to almost feel like some of my people, like people who might understand some of the things that I might talk about or mention.
And the wide variety, too, of businesses people are running here. I mean, they'll send out an email the day before telling about who's coming. And my first instinct was to say, oh, if I don't know anything about that industry, if it's not relevant to me, don't go. But I've done quite the opposite. And it's so just the other week, there was a company who's working on building, you know, compostable coffins for people to be buried naturally. And that is not an industry I've thought of at all, but it's just fascinating. It's like somebody saw a problem and they're trying to solve it. And you get to go hear them tell their story. So.
And ask their questions. I mean, that was, I think that was one of the things that you were doing there. You were asking some questions about, you know, this isn't my forte in this one particular area. You know, what kind of suggestions might people have? And I just thought it was terrific.
Yeah,
to hear all of the feedback, and that was helpful to
it,
you,
it
right?
It was helpful for me. I presented in February, and they're good about it's not a pitch party. You're not going in there asking for money. That's not an investment thing. It's what can the community help you with? So my big things were, you know, I'm trying to partner with local organizations that either serve tourists, you know, whether it's hiking and kayaking guides, or, you know, restaurants or something that will, you know, would be open to giving discounts to my guests, or getting connected to people that teach classes here to out-of-towners, and those people might be looking for a place to stay. And so I've already made a handful of connections from that group that I wouldn't, you know, I would have had to do some cold call or cold email otherwise.
Or stumble across, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, leaning into the community has been great.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, my guest today is Ryan Appleton, and he is the creator of the Dreamer and the Doer associated with the Lazy Tiger Hostel right here in Asheville. And I'm Habanero, and I am sitting in the seat this morning for Carol Anders. She'll be back next week, and we're going to take a quick musical break.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Karen, she's a silver sun. You best walk her away. Watch it shining. Watch her watch the morning come. A silver tear appearing now. I'm crying, ain't I? Gone to Carolina in my mind. There ain't no doubt in no one's mind that love's the finest thing around. Whisper something soft. Sky's on fire, I'm dying, ain't I? I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. The dark and silent late last night, I think I might have heard the highway calling. Geese in flight and dogs at bite. The
signs, it might be omens, say I'm going, I'm going, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. With a holy host of others standing around me, still I'm on the dark side of the moon, and it seems like it goes on like this forever. Must forgive me if I'm up and gone to Carolina in my mind. In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine? From behind, yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Gone to Carolina in my mind, and I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Gone to Carolina.
Going to Carolina, that's James Taylor, of course, going to Carolina, and Carolina on my mind. My guest this morning on Dreamers and Doers, I'm filling in for Carol Anders, and my guest is Ryan Appleton, the genius behind the Lazy Tiger Hostel right here in Asheville. So, Ryan, thank you so much for spending your morning with us here. How did the Lazy Tiger wind up manifesting here in this part of Carolina?
Yeah, so I was in Atlanta and knew I wanted to stay in the Southeast. That's where all my family is, and that's where I like to live. But I didn't love the travel market in Atlanta, so I was looking at other cities. I evaluated Nashville and New Orleans and Key West and Charleston and certainly Asheville. And Asheville kind of just checked the most boxes. You know, it was people might laugh, but it was more affordable real estate than some of those other options.
A few years ago it was.
You're right, yeah.
I mean, it's only the last few years that's gone completely insane.
Yeah, it's certainly, I bought the property at the right time, I'll say that. But it's also not just that, but the type of traveler that comes here. You know, I think outside of the kind of vibrant arts community we have and the beautiful outdoors we have, Asheville just tends to attract wanderers. You know, I've met so many folks that just moved to Asheville and say they're just going to kind of figure it out, right? Figure out what they're doing. And that's so different from everywhere else where I've lived, where you move somewhere because of a job or you move somewhere to go to school. And people move to Asheville for Asheville or visit Asheville for Asheville and then kind of figure out what's next after that. And
that's so interesting. I've not heard that before.
Yeah, that's been my experience. So I just like I think folks can come here with an open mind, and yeah, it does require a little bit of an open mind to stay at a hostel, to sleep in a room with potentially seven strangers. You know, that requires some trust and some chutzpah and want to have a little fun. So,
but not complete trust. I mean, there is some safety. Like you explained to me once before how the room is set up, where you've not only got a place where you can take a snooze, but you've also got a place where you can keep your stuff securely.
Yeah, every bunk will have their own locker that you can lock and secure. And we'll have a place where we can store bigger items. If guests want to go on a two or three camping, you know, day camping trip, we can store luggage for them while they do that. I like to think of it as like a mutual trust thing. You know, it's like when Airbnb first started. It's weird for both parties. You know, you're either having a stranger in your house or you're staying in a stranger's house. So if people are signing up for that agreement, there is a mutual trust, but the world's not perfect. So we definitely want to give some folks some options where they can feel comfortable leaving their stuff and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. So what are your next steps? Where do you hope to be in 1, 5, 10 years?
Well, obviously, I mean, I'm one track mind is getting the doors open. I've been planning this for so long and talking about it for so long, and now I'm really ready to start doing it. But yeah, I would love to just see the Lazy Tiger take root and become kind of a staple for travelers visiting the area. You know, people have asked me if I want to open 10 hostels. I would guess no. After this current construction project, I never want to build anything ever again. But ask me again in 5 years, we'll see. My goal will probably be get this up and running, because I'll live on site. I will eventually hire somebody to live on site and run the day-to-day for me, and then we'll see what's next. But that's several steps away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so exciting. I just want to thank you again for sharing your dream here with me and the steps that you took to get there.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And certainly, I love talking about it. I love hearing from the community. If anybody has any ideas or wants to reach out or is interested or has no idea how a hostel works and is curious, please feel free to reach out to me.
What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you can email me at info@lazytigerhostel.com. We're on all the socials. The website has a contact form. I would definitely love to hear from you.
All the socials, eh?
Facebook, so, Instagram. Yeah, maybe not all of them, just two of them. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're not TikToking yet?
Not yet. I actually haven't downloaded the app. I know the algorithm's too good for me, and I have a mild technology addiction, so I've avoided it. but I also acknowledge that's where a lot of people, especially younger travelers, will live. So it will happen eventually. I might just hire somebody to do it for me.
Yeah, maybe as you get closer. So again, just really thank you so much. And let's see, what else do we have to tell you here? Short Circuit is a delightful freeform buffet hosted by DJ Avocado Advocate, Saturdays 10 to 11 a.m. Democracy Now! Is up next, followed by Sweet Tea at 11, Soul of the Blues at noon, Closer to the Edge at 2, and Music My Mother Would Not Like wraps up the broadcasting afternoon here at Asheville. So keep it locked. And next week, Carol Anders will be here.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. Moonshine, teardrop in my eye, country road. Oh,
listening to Asheville FM at WSFMLP 103.3 Asheville. It's the top of the hour, 10 a.m. I'm your host for Democracy Now! I'm Patricia. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Thursday. Coming up next, Democracy Now!
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This case is not about health and safety. I want to be clear that this case is about nothing but ideology. And this is incredibly dangerous for millions of people in this country who need access to medication abortion.
The abortion pill mifepristone remains available at least for today, after the Supreme Court delayed a ruling on the future of abortion pill until Friday. We'll look at the fight to keep abortion legal with Julie Burkhardt. She worked for 8 years with abortion provider Dr. George Tiller before he was assassinated in church in 2009. We'll also speak to law professor Michelle Goodwin, author of Policing the Womb, Invisible Women, and the Criminalization of Motherhood. Then to the historic settlement, Dominion Voting System versus Fox News, for spreading lies and conspiracy theories about the 2020 election.
Fox and Dominion have reached an historic settlement. Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion that caused enormous damage to my company, our employees, and the customers that we serve. Nothing can ever make up for that.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Thousands of people have fled Sudan's capital, Khartoum.